Let's talk about routes. Routes, yes, you guys know pretty much the entire route tree when it comes to the game of tackle football. And I want to talk about Garrett Nussmeier's favorite route. Now, I do not know specifically what Nuss's favorite route actually is, but I think next year where we are going to feast is something called a post. Now, a lot of you are familiar with what a post is. It is a vertical route with a very slight in-breaker moving towards the end zone. Now, what you're looking at right now, if you're listening to this via iTunes, Spotify, we really do appreciate each and every one of you. The single most popular route run by all teams are a curl. Now, once again, these are all routes that are run, not just routes that are targeted. And this graph right here is via J. Bud Davis. And the red dots that you see here are LSU's relative route percentage compared to all the other teams in all of college football. And what you'll see is we actually ran a lot of digs. Now, the reason why I believe we ran a lot of digs is because Garrett Nussmeier is a good thrower of the ball over the middle. A dig is an in-breaker, but it is run parallel to the end zone. So you run 10 yards and you run pretty much across the yard line. And we ran a lot of digs this past season. Now, what you'll see is we, compared to the rest of college football, didn't run a whole lot of post routes. And I feel, rewatching a bunch of games from last season, that there is a reason for that. Because in order for post routes to be successful, a post route oftentimes is going to be thrown when the receiver is pretty much in between the tackle box or in between the guards, right? And what you'll see if you go to Patreon, patreon.com/LSU football, we struggled with pass protection up the middle, whether it was guys just breaking through on twist stunts or guys just bull rushing our interior offensive linemen right into Garrett Nussmeier's lap. I think that's part of the reason why we didn't have as much success on post routes, which has been a big part of LSU's success. Now, we had a lot of success on seams. You see that we ran a lot of seams. But overall, we need to be more efficient on post. Okay. Now, when it comes to route charting data, it could be very iffy. Okay. So even though I'm showing you this chart, I think route charting data can be very flawed. You don't know the play calls. Obviously, a lot of this is tracking data. That can get very wiry here. So we ran a lot of seams. We were really good on just straight vertical seams. A seam, of course, is a vertical route run straight up the middle by an interior receiver, oftentimes alongside the hash. We were very good on seams, right? Obviously, we hit Mason Taylor on quite a few of those. We had Aaron Anderson on quite a few of those. So we were good overall on that. But as you could see, we also didn't run a whole lot of straight goes. Now, I'm skeptical of that. We ran a lot of all goes, all verticals, but we could not complete straight goes outside of Chris Hilton towards the end of the season, where he was dominant on goes and posts with the multiple touchdown game versus Oklahoma and essentially a multiple touchdown game versus Baylor. So a healthy Chris Hilton helps with a lot of this. Berrian Brown and Nick Anderson are also very good on these route concepts. And when you really break down Aaron Anderson and Kyron Lacy, that's not really their game. They're good on in-breakers. They're good, in particular, Kyron on deep overs. So the reason why this is very, very, very important, as you can see, I've been working really hard on my glorious birthday here, is I want to show you this, okay? And I feel like this is very, very, very important, okay? So take a look at these charts. Once again, it's kind of small and tough to read from where you are, but you'll see that the second most explosive route concept when targeted this season was a post. Now, as you can see, deep cross, we were very good this past season on deep crossers. That's really good. We are very good on deep crossers. And as you can see, seams were the most explosive play. We obviously were decent on seams. But I feel post routes are where you can get very, very, very explosive. And our best post route receiver was Chris Hilton. Now, in the past who have been good post route receivers. Well, Brian Thomas Jr., of course, was definitely that. We didn't have him this season, as many of you know, but hopefully Chris Hilton takes a leap, much like BTJ. And you'll see that, once again, you guys saw the last chart. Apparently, we did not run as many post routes as other teams. And this is where it gets very, very, very interesting, is this is the overall success when it comes to just the routes being run. The last chart was when the route was actually targeted. But you'll see, when you simply just attach a post route to your play, you're an overall more explosive offense. Okay, you can see the other vertical routes aren't as successful or explosive as the post. And we break this down into deeper detail if you go to Patreon. And the best thing for my birthday would be you guys going to sign up for the PHL Patreon. We had a vote today on our new PHL backdrop. This was sent in by a patron. Mr. Mike sent this. And there you go. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase doing that. But we will switch up our backdrops, because I also have this. Some of you actually voted for this being our new backdrop. So here we go. There you go. I kind of want to go with this one because obviously Jaden Daniels is playing this weekend. So I know that's stuff for our audio viewers, viewers, listeners after the fact. But there you go. Now, why do I think post routes are important? Well, the Aaron Anderson touchdown versus Florida was a post. The Chris Hilton first touchdown versus Oklahoma was a post. Actually, the second one, midway through the third quarter. And once again, I'm very skeptical of the charting data, but it kind of backs up. Because if you go to Patreon, you will see a huge post route that was missed for a touchdown because Garrett Nussmeier had an offensive lineman in his lap. It was a walk-in touchdown. So we got to get better at that. Now, the reason why I'm hammering the post for this video is Garrett Nussmeier is unlike most quarterbacks. You'll see it quite a bit in the college game that college quarterbacks do not like throwing over the middle. They just don't. Garrett is actually better at throwing over the middle than he is throwing to the outside or vertically. So the intermediate middle, Garrett is actually really good on digs, crossers, the occasional slant. We weren't as big of a slant team as I thought we were going to be. This year, obviously, Aaron Anderson housed a slant versus Texas A&M. And one other thing that I saw that was very interesting is we were one of the leaders in all of college football when it comes to running a whip route. Okay, I think a lot of you know what a whip route is. And Aaron Anderson was extremely profitable on whip routes. Now, they're not my favorite routes because they do take some time, and you have to have a player of Aaron's skill set to really be effective running this play, and they're not overly explosive, but they were good because we had a guy who was really good at it, and of course, that fits Aaron to a T. So, really excited about this next season, this next passing attack, and there you go. Now, once again, please, if you go sign up for the Patreon, you can watch this film study for free because I am covering your first month. If you go sign up for the PHL Patreon, you get your first month free. You get access to the Discord. And I'm sending you a Joe Burrow card in the mail. Or if you want a Ja'Marr Chase card, I'll send you one of those. Okay? Now, this is interesting. I know Blanche isn't really a film study guy. Post is better than General Mills. Huh? It's obviously a fun little dad joke there. What Blanche doesn't know is one of the most effective ways to run a post route is actually in a passing concept called Mills. I'm serious. It's the name of it. Now, like I always say, I'm a film studying analyst. I don't try and get too much in the minutia of the names, because if you start breaking down route names and what it's called in different systems, it's going to confuse the hell out of you. Okay, but Mills is one of my favorite things that can be run in football. Now, here's the thing about when you run Mills, you got to have dudes. But the reason why I like Mills is that it's a good quarters beater, and then you play a lot of, you see a lot of quarters. Okay, I'll pull it up just for you, Blanche, since you made that that joke. Okay, so here we go. And just to let you know that I'm not BSing you. Here you go. There's a little draw up of it. It's a little tiny. So she said. So there you go. There's the Steve Spurrier University of Florida Mills concept. As you can see, the post from the number one to the outside. So there you go. Something strange about this draw up here is, well, it's blurry. So there you go. That's Mills for you. Sad of Pierce. Sad of Christopher. Big Dex. P123. Tony the Tiger. Let's go. All right. Next thing. LSU versus South Carolina postponed. We are teeter-tottering on if we're going to do a post-game live stream after the game tomorrow. Okay. Friday nights get wild for me. Not because I'm going out partying or anything. I'm too old for that. But we'll just play that by ear. I kind of want to do a post game because it is such a big game. And I feel bad because College Game Day was supposed to be involved with the Thursday night game. Obviously, getting moved, changed plans. But, you know, I listened to an interview earlier today that Peter Burns, friend of the channel, former PHL guest Peter Burns, did with Don Staley. Now, I understand not everybody here likes Don Staley. That's perfectly fine. I love Don Staley. Oh, Carter, that's our rival. Okay. I can't help but like Don Staley. She's got swagger. She's interesting. And she's a big personality. In smaller sports, it's better when the stars of those smaller sports have big personalities. Kim Mulkey, of course, and Don Staley, okay? And I like the way in this interview she played up the rivalry aspect of this. And she is playing up LSU and South Carolina being a thing. She said, when you say something wrong about their fans, they get mad. If you say something wrong about our fans, and Don talking about South Carolina fans, they get mad. And I do believe, even though they would be nicer to each other in person, Don and Kim are insanely competitive people. I believe that they have a general disdain for each other. Good. That's good. Okay. I think we're going to win tomorrow. I do. I really, really, really do. For some reason, in my heart of hearts, I feel like we're going to get this done. Now we get to our super chats. We get one from Julie, who is one of my best friends. I really appreciate you, Julie. And we get one here from TJ. And it's funny, TJ, that he super chats via Venmo here, because we just booked another wedding thanks to TJ. So there you go. TJ doesn't know who this is, but our guy Dylan, who's a PHL viewer, heard me talking about TJ's wedding that I DJed. And Dylan booked me to DJ his wedding in the fall. Now, before I get to TJ's question, why would he book a fall wedding? Dylan can't really be a college football fan booking a fall wedding, can he? Well, here's the thing. Dylan's getting married on Halloween, and Halloween next year is on a Friday. So it's not technically a fall wedding if it's on a Friday. Okay? Big congrats to D. Let's go. Ma'am Lanch, I know you got a kick out of that. Let's go to TJ's. Do you see Brown and Hilton with the ability to coexist in the offense, or you think whoever wins that deep wide receiver role? Will become the deep guy, and the other guy will ride the bench? It's a very good question. And I've gotten this from some other LSU viewers of the channel. Berrian Brown, very similar player to Chris Hilton. And in many ways, they are, right? Chris Hilton was a top 100 recruit. I think a lot of people expected him to be better than what he's been up to this point. Obviously, injuries are a big part in that. Berrian Brown is actually the opposite of Chris Hilton, a guy who surprised many as a true freshman, who has for the most part been insanely durable. But everyone is shocked. If you saw Berrian Brown as a true freshman lighting up that legendary 2022 Georgia defense, you would have been like, there's no way that Berrian Brown was still going to be a college football player. There's no way. But he's here for year four at LSU. So they're very similar. They both have big question marks as far as if they could be an every down producer. But here's the thing. Is as good as Chris Hilton was in those final games, you can't rely on him at this point in his career. And I think even Chris would agree with that. Injuries have been a big problem. Injuries have been a big problem. Okay? So what does that mean exactly? Well, Berrian Brown is the Chris Hilton insurance, and they can coexist on the field at the same time. Nick Anderson has also been a good gold ball receiver. He dropped a big one in Bedlam a few years ago on a vertical route. But overall, he's a good vertical receiver himself. Not truly his game. He has a better overall all-around game. But, yeah, they can coexist. I do think Berrian Brown and Chris Hilton can coexist. One area where both of them need to get better, though, is after the catch and breaking tackles after the catch. Neither one of those players are the absolute best at that. Okay. Now, they can coexist and Aaron Anderson be the slot guy. And I think that's part of also why they went out and got Berrian Brown. They do trust Chris Hilton. But if you put both of them on the field at the same time, you can run a lot of vertical clear out types of things and have Aaron Anderson cook underneath. You know, one thing that I found to be very fascinating is when they brought CJ Daniels over, he was a very good goal ball receiver at Liberty, but that turned out to not really be his game at LSU. Same thing is true with Kyren Lacy. When we started to really get vertical was when Chris was healthy. Now, he played terribly versus A&M. He played terribly versus Florida. But you saw what happened to our offense when he played amazing versus Oklahoma and amazing versus Baylor. It made us an elite offense, opened a lot of things up for other people. So hopefully Berrian Brown could do the same thing. The thing that really excites me about Berrian Brown is normally if you break out as a true freshman, if you're really, really, really good as a true freshman, okay? Normally, you're still going to be good. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's simple logic, all right? If you are good at something at a very young age, the likelihood that you're still going to be good at something as you get older and still in the prime of your career is really high, especially in college football where we have a fixed age grouping, right? So if you're a teenager, which Berrian Brown was as a true freshman at Kentucky, and you're dominating the Georgia freaking Bulldogs. Literally, his Georgia game as a freshman was stupidly good. It wasn't just him running wide open. It was him running past dudes. Running very intricate routes. That doesn't just disappear. So why did his production decline? Well, there was another great receiver by the name of Dane Key. Kentucky also plays at a slower pace. So, for instance, LSU, before the bowl game, I believe, threw the football 500 times. Kentucky threw the football 332 times. Okay? So it's one of those things where, look, we expect Baron Brown to get back to that form. Now, do we know if that's going to happen? We don't know that, but we'd like to think he's going to get back to that version. Sam, thank you for the super chat. You get to pick the next topic after Blanche here. Am I going to do a breakdown of the South Carolina game tomorrow at 4? So, yeah, that's what I'm pondering. I planned on doing a huge post-game show after the game tonight. But it's not going to happen. Okay? So, we'll probably do a post-game after LSU South Carolina. There was something I had planned for tomorrow night. But, you know, this is a big day. You know, we love women's basketball here. Especially LSU women's basketball. And like I said, the most views I've ever had on a post-game live show was at the end of LSU South Carolina in the SEC tournament. Seriously. Women's basketball does numbers. Michaela Williams is the most popular interview we've ever done on here. Seriously, more than a national championship MVP. So, and I also like covering the team. I love Shepherd. I do. But you guys know, my girl, Anissa Morrow. Beast mode. Beast mode. Anissa the Beast. Love it. Sam, I appreciate your insights. You are one of our sharpest viewers. Thank you so much. I really, 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 really do appreciate you. Okay? This is a good question. From Fred, he said, "Hey Carter, I saw your photo of Jaden, Malik, and BTJ. Obviously, I just showed it a minute ago, my new painting. So I have one kind of like this, but Jaden, Malik, and BTJ. We'll put it up for the next show. Do I think there could be a world where Jaden, Malik, and BTJ would be on the same NFL team?" Which is essentially the same question everyone asks about Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. It would not be financially responsible for them to do that. They all need to max out. No, they don't need to. They can do whatever they want. But they are going to max out their worth with their contracts. As they should. You know, like, we've seen these contracts that Justin Jefferson has gotten and what Ja'Marr Chase is about to get. Malik and BTJ should get as much as they possibly can. And then you could always, you know, when you're winding down, get together down the road. But do I think there is interest? Yes, I do think there's interest. I do. Because, look, it's rare when players are off that they go sit in the crowd for another teammate's NFL game. And I think a lot of you saw this. Jaden Daniels played the opening round game in Tampa Bay. Who was sitting amongst the crowd? Well, it was Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. And notice they weren't sitting in some suite. They legit, like all of us, went on StubHub, got two tickets, and went to go support Jaden Daniels and went on their own dime. Oftentimes when athletes go to other games or whatever, they're sitting in a suite. And they're invited. They're there for a brand thing or whatever. But no, they were there to support their guy. So their relationship obviously is still strong to this day. And I think at some point you would like to see it. Same thing with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. The thing that I would look out for, though, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is coming back for the Saints next year. I do think Clyde will play with Joe at some point because they're obviously best friends. So there you go. Now, coming up after this break, we'll talk a little bit more about Garrett Nussmeier. We're going to be talking about him so much during the offseason. And yesterday on Blake's show, there's a few people thought I was throwing some Nuss shade out there. I'll address that right after this.
Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy.
Why'd that do that?
Book right your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
All righty. So, yeah, there wasn't any Gary Nussmeier shade at all. I was just sharing. That he needs to throw the deep ball better, and that you look at the national championship game and those quarterbacks who probably aren't that much faster than Garrett, definitely Will Howard, it would be nice to have some QB run game attached to our run game. Matt, I appreciate you. And here's what we're going to do in the next 5 to 10 minutes. I'm going to take as many as I possibly can. But if you super chat, we'll keep it going. We're not going to go too long tonight because we're probably going live tomorrow after LSU versus South Carolina. Okay. Let's see here. Let's go here. Carter, have you seen these top 10 quarterback lists? Yeah, I've seen a few. And Garrett Nussmeier is on pretty much everyone. Yes. Most have him in that 5-ish range. I've seen some say he is the number 2 guy. One guy that's it's interesting, I saw On3 make a list. They had Sam Leavitt of Arizona State at number 1. And I don't necessarily see that. Do I think he's good? Yeah. Do I think his performance versus Texas was somewhat underrated? Yeah. I understand he's attached to a really, really good coordinator coach in Dillingham, but I don't know if he's better than Gary Nussmeier. Then you have a few guys who have not started really at all, like Arch Manning ahead of Gary Nussmeier. Should Arch Manning be ahead of Gary Nussmeier? One guy that to me is uncomfortably high is Lenore Sellers. Okay. Lenore Sellers is really, really high on some of these lists. Charles, thank you for the super. I really appreciate it. Like, really high. Lenore Sellers? Really? I understand. He made one of the biggest plays in a rivalry game you'll see. Third and 16 touchdown run to beat Clemson for the second consecutive time under Beamer in Clemson in Death Valley, the fake Death Valley. But Lenore Sellers, I've seen him over Garrett Nussmeier on some list. Another interesting one that I've seen that's pretty high is John Mateer. All right, it's a quarterback we will play next year. He's transferring in from Washington State to go to Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma went into the portal and revamped their weak wide receiver room. But I'm not necessarily in love with the receivers that they got. Oklahoma, defensive-minded head coach. Super young and unproven offensive coordinator. Drew Allar, I could see the vision over Garrett Nussmeier. Cade Klubnik, I could see the vision over Garrett Nussmeier. Nico Emelianieva. I'm a big Nico guy, as many of you know. Coming out of high school, Nico was by far my number one rated prospect. But this season, he kind of faded on me. Nico, like Garrett Nussmeier, had some deep goal ball accuracy issues. But when I tell you, and I know a lot of you don't have time during the day because this is my job to watch this stuff nonstop, okay? When I tell you that Garrett Nussmeier had so much more on his plate than all these other really good SEC quarterbacks, I really do mean it. So that's why, you know, when I hear these viewers, if you will, when I was on Blake's show last night, hey, you're being harsh on Garrett or whatever. That's always the case with QB discourse. It always will be the case with QB discourse. Okay. But Garrett, he made things hard on himself at times. But go sit down and watch a Texas game. And you really need to watch multiple Texas games. Sit down and watch a Tennessee game. Multiple Tennessee games. And I'm talking about sitting down and watching every play of the game. And then sit down and watch an LSU game. What is being schemed up for those quarterbacks is so much easier than what is being done for Garrett. And once again, Garrett makes it hard. All right, there's a few things that we can get into that he does to make life harder on a lot of the offense. But holy crap, y'all, he's so good. Like, he is so freaking good. Well, he commits a lot of turnovers. Yeah, he commits a lot of turnovers. But he also had to throw the football 500 times. They were also asking him to do a lot. There was also some people that wanted targets at all time. It's hard, man. It's really hard. Okay. Gaming Heavy, thank you, man. I appreciate it. The Big 2-5, you better believe it. Blanche wants to talk about DJ Lagway. Let's do it. But first, let's go to Sam's super chat question. LSU defense plus or minus 6 interceptions. Now that we're going to have 6 interceptions, we will have 2 pick sixes next year. Mark it down. 2 pick sixes from DBs. All right. Obviously, we had one, and that was a linebacker, Devon Keyes. Blanche, DJ Lagway is getting love. So let's talk some DJ Lagway. Obviously, we play him next season. It's going to be a little weird because we're playing Florida earlier than we are accustomed to on the 2025 schedule. So, DJ Lagway, the bowl game for him versus Tulane was weird because Tulane started the worst quarterback I think I've ever seen in Ty Thompson in that bowl game. And funny thing was, Ty Thompson was a close to 5-star quarterback recruit. He is staying at Tulane as a tight end, I believe. So it's weird when you're playing in a bowl game, especially when you're playing a team that had nothing going offensively. But Lagway didn't really play that well in the bowl game. But one of the more underrated SEC performances on the season was DJ Lagway beating Ole Miss. And I can make a very strong case that the best half of quarterback play we saw in the SEC all last season was DJ Lagway in the first half versus Ole Miss. Need I remind you, before DJ Lagway, before he got hurt versus Georgia, have Florida in position to win that game versus Georgia this year? He beat us with no rushing ability. He did not run. Beat us from the pocket. He's very good. I do think he's very good. Now, this is where LSU will have an advantage. College football quarterbacking is a young man's game. Kidding. It's an old man's game. The best quarterbacks in college football are the year 4, year 5, and year 6 guys. DJ Lagway is only year 2. Now, he's a very talented year 2 quarterback. We have had multiple year 2 Heisman Trophy quarterbacks in the past 5 seasons. Obviously, Caleb Williams and Bryce Young the year before that. And like DJ Lagway, those are both top 5 national recruits and number 1 overall quarterback recruits. So, yeah, I mean, he could be sensational next season. One thing I'll say, though, is I know DK was good. I know Elijah Badger was good. They bring in J. Michael Sturdivant from the transfer portal. How good is Florida's wide receivers going into next season? I don't know. I don't think that group is like special. All right. So we'll see what happens. Joseph, Garrett makes it hard. It was crazy. It was kind of crazy coming off the tongue. Pause. That made it worse. Joseph, what I want you to do is drink bleach and jump into an erupting volcano full of electric eels. That's what I need you to do right now. Jesse, what's good? So, yeah, and, you know, I'm working on something for Patreon, and I want to, like, my coaches watch his stuff. I mean, I doubt Brian Kelly sits and watches my streams, but, you know, you get messages from time to time from, you know, people you respect. And there's some tendencies, and it's hard to pick up because you really got to find full games. If you have an ESPN subscription, you can watch full games. They make it clunky, but you can find them. And there is one small thing that I think LSU needs to do more of that I see the great offensive minds do. All right. And I do want to bring up one very important thing. Football will always be an athlete game over coaches. All right. So, you know, we can pile on Joe Sloan as much as we want or whoever, whichever coach you don't like. But if you got dudes, dudes will make a lot of people look a lot better than they are. Okay. And last year, we were really struggling at some positions with not having the proper dudes that we need at those positions to be successful. Okay. We'll have more dudes next year. Okay. So a lot of these great offenses, they have great players. They have really, really, really good players. All right, when I study Ole Miss, they've got great players. Texas, they've got great players. Ohio State, they've got the best players. But there are things you can do schematically to make your team better. And what I would say, as someone who does film studies, has a somewhat decent bit of knowledge of the technical part of the game, is football oftentimes comes down to just numbers. Okay, obviously having your dudes matters. All right. But the thing is, with Jaden Daniels, he created numerical advantages that just don't exist in football because of his speed and his awareness and creativity. And Malik and Brian Thomas Jr., you can double team them and they still get the damn job done. They themselves create numbers advantages because they're superhuman. The problem, though, is when you don't have those types of players, you as a coordinator, you've got to do whatever you can to create numerical advantages when it comes to certain players and where they are on the field. All right. And when studying LSU's route concepts, we overall did a good job of that. You know, one of our better route concepts or ideas is something called flood. All right. We ran a lot of really good flood concepts last year, and we would hit the routes designed to go on flood, which oftentimes when you run flood, it is the second route of the flood that you're hitting. Okay. Very simplified way of describing it. But what happened as the season moved on is teams started picking up on it. They really did. So there was a throw that Gary Nussmeier had versus Alabama that was almost picked off. Aaron Anderson did a really good job of, you know, batting it down. And it looked like a really, really bad throw by Nuss. But the reason why the corner was able to make the play on it is because he had seen us do this 1,000 times on film. All right. So what happens is, you know, if you're coached well enough defensively and you actually, you know, every player on every team's got an iPad with every play that they can look at, you could pick up on it. All right. So oftentimes what you need to do as an OC, once again, this is my very unprofessional opinion. I've never called plays before in my life. And I don't play Madden. I don't play the video games, even though I have both of them right here. What you need to do is create numbers advantages with your formations and with your route concepts in other ways. And there's plenty of ways you can do that. Create triangle reads. Put defenders in conflict. One thing we really struggled with is putting the quote-unquote overhang player in conflict. We struggle with that at times this year. So once again, it's tough to really, you know, break that down, obviously, verbally. We'll do a bunch of film breakdowns. So
there you go.
Let's go to Jared. Update flood to blizzard for 2025. Could you imagine an LSU playoff game played in the snow? Now,
let's go to Charles, his super chat.
Aman Anand from Grambling, new special teams coach. So I saw this earlier. I don't know if for sure he is going to be the special teams coach, right? He comes over from Grambling. And I'll wait till LSU announces it officially. The problem, Charles, is I know nothing about him. So I'm not going to have a full opinion on any coach that I know nothing about. Is it a tad, let's just say he is the full-time special teams coach. Is it a tad unusual to get a coach from Grambling? So there you go. I don't know. And Charles says he'll be an analyst and will hire a tight end coach as well. So that was my line of thinking. You know, someone told me that earlier today. I just always wait for these coaching announcements. One thing I'll say about our coaching hires when it comes to assistants is we are a bit more methodical in announcing and just hiring new coaches. Which I'm fine with, right? It's a little bit different if it's like during a recruiting period or a signing period, but we are a little bit more methodical when it comes to making those hires, okay? DJ Pizza, my man, good to see you. Jesse, I don't know. They could just make this another analyst collaborative thing, which is essentially what it was last year. Slay Nagel was the special teams coach, but it was a very collaborative approach. You know, I talked about this briefly on a Blake show, but you know, we did lose someone that was very involved in our special teams, and that, of course, was Bob Diaco. Okay. Now, how was LSU special teams this year? It was mostly good. It was, you know, obviously, two kickoff return touchdowns in the final two games are nice, and you're adding the best kickoff returner of this era, arguably, in Barry and Brown to the equation, which is good. You know, punt returns were fine. Obviously, we had some kicking, punting issues, but you get another punter in the portal. One guy that, you know, I hyped up quite a bit going into this past season, and he was mostly good for us. He wasn't special. Was Xavion Thomas. You know, I'm expecting more out of Xavion. One thing that I found to be very interesting about Xavion, and this was something he was really, really good at Mississippi State, is making the difficult catch. And he made a few really good plays for us, difficult grabs. But he had a few other opportunities to make those grabs, and he couldn't quite come up with it. Now, some of that could be, you know, him not being an every down player and getting your rhythm, but we need those next year. We really, 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 really do. Okay. Now we'll take a few more here. Once again, if you super chat, we'll keep going. Chance that your boy Slade had an off year. Yeah, he missed a few this year, which is uncharacteristic, but I think he'll have a shot in the NFL. I do. Cole, it's good. Let's take a look at the poll question. Thanks to our friends at Zion Imaging. Aaron Anderson will lead LSU in receiving next season. There we go. The people have spoken. Big Dex, what's good? Tony the Tiger. PG123. Let's go. Yeah, you'll never see me slander Mr. Slade Roy. We'll get him back on here in a second. Pretty soon. I'll show you this quote. I saw this a little bit earlier with the general. He's no longer our basketball coach, but I do want to share this. And this comes from a coach at McNeese State, Will Wade. Everybody acts like, the best teams are going to get the best players. But to me, there's a couple of factors. One, you got to have the money. Two, you got to be able to have the relationship to get the right players with the money. And then three, you got to have the sense to be able to fit it all together. Just because you have money, money doesn't solve all the problems. He's right. You know, this is a football side to it, to this. Okay. And I think it is important. You know, much was made about Ohio State's $20 million roster. But their team was also old. You know, Jeremiah Smith was the best player on the team as a true freshman. But, man, they had a lot of guys that were top 15 national recruits, five stars, who had good college careers. There were year three guys that came back for their year four. Jack Sawyer, JTT, at the bookends, Travion Henderson was so big for them in their biggest games. And it was big. It was so big. Okay. Appreciate all the birthday wishes. Jason says, who do I think tight end number one will be next year? Yeah, I guess it comes down to what they want to do with Trey Des Green. But I like Donovan Green a lot. I really do. You know, I shared earlier this week. I think he's a bit of a slept on player in this crop. Bauer Sharp, of course, is very interesting. And J.D. LaFleur, pretty pumped up about him as well. So there you go. Now, that'll do it for me tonight. You know, be on the lookout for the post-game show tomorrow after LSU and South Carolina. So freaking pumped up for the game tomorrow. Kim Mulkey, if you're watching this, Flaw J, I think y'all are going to get it done. I do. All right. It's time to beat Don Staley and the Gamecocks. Let's go. Big shout out to all our super chatters. Top super chatter tonight is Miss Julie, Blanche, Sam, Matt, Charles. TJ also threw in a Venmo. I really appreciate you guys. And also, one of my former coworkers, Mr. Chris Hagan, also sent me a Venmo. But that happened earlier today. But Chris occasionally tunes in, okay? LSU! Power. LSU. Boom! Now, I need you guys to comment below. Which should be our permanent backdrop? I like both of them a lot. I do. Tonight we are doing TT's gumbo. Let's go. Let's go.